Welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Clickhorn, and this podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. And I am so grateful that you have decided to take some time out of your day to tune in and join us in this conversation. Today, I am joined by Monica. And we're going to talk about caring for mama in postpartum. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
Yeah, I'm excited for this episode of the show. So let's get started, Monica, with you just sharing a bit of your story and what you do now.
So I have struggled with anxiety and depression for most of my adult life. And when I fell pregnant at the age of 35, my anxiety, you know, went up a notch or two because there's so many uncertainties. And then I was 8 months pregnant when COVID level 5 pandemic lockdown hit. And my anxiety went through the roof, as you can imagine. And so 1 month into the lockdown, I gave birth via cesarean. My son was lying breech, so I wasn't quite brave enough to try the natural route. But it was quite traumatic, you know, not having your family and friends with you, no doula, nothing went the way I had planned it. And then afterwards, being alone in the hospital, my husband was only allowed for 2 hours. And then after going home, not really having the support that, you know, you anticipate when you're pregnant, you imagine people coming to visit, helping you keep the house clean, all that sort of things. None of that happened. And I also struggled with breastfeeding in the beginning. And we were about 3 months in when I just kind of had a breakdown moment. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. My son was on my chest and he was crying and I didn't know what was wrong. I had fed him. I had changed him. He wasn't too warm, not too cold. Like, I don't know what was wrong. And then I just burst out crying. And there, both of us were on the couch, just like bawling our eyes out. And I realized that I had reached kind of like rock bottom. And upon reflection, I realized that it was anxiety mainly that was crippling me. Because anxiety is sneaky. It can sneak up on you without realizing what is happening. But once I identified that anxiety was at the root of my problems, I could utilize all the tricks and methods I had learned throughout the years. And it took a long time, but I eventually found my feet. And I just realized that pandemic or no pandemic, no mama should be so alone after giving birth. And it was so isolating realizing how much attention is given to the baby, but so very little attention given to the mom. And I didn't want any other mom to go through that. So now my mission in life is to coach new moms and to help them relax and enjoy their motherhood, you know, without constantly worrying about doing something wrong. And I really am passionate about it because I feel a lot of moms don't know that they are suffering from anxiety. So I also want to just create awareness around that.
Wow. It is amazing work that you are doing. So can you share a little bit about what the beginning of your healing journey looked like? What steps did you take to begin to heal?
The first steps I took was to identify the anxiety, really. You need to kind of know what you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really focused on positive affirmations. It's something I've done in the past as well when I was going through particularly difficult times. And I know a lot of people think affirmations are cheesy, but for me, they really work. And especially the repetition thereof. So I focused a lot on that. And I quit social media because I feel social media adds a lot of unintentional stress and anxiety on you. In your subconscious, you pick up on how everybody else is living the seemingly wonderful life and you're the only one that's struggling, which is not true. No. But that's how you perceive it to be. And that's not healthy for your mental health. So I pretty much quit social media. And yeah, I started focusing on Pilates and eventually on yoga. That was kind of the start of my journey.
Wow. So I also have found success with positive affirmations. And really going back to your first step of acknowledging what the situation was, what did that situation look like? What were your, I don't know, for lack of a better term, symptoms that really tipped you off that it was anxiety and not something else?
So a number of things, and the biggest thing that I noticed was I had this constant feeling like I had to be doing something. Mm-hmm. I needed to do something, but I didn't know what. Didn't matter what I did. I had this feeling like this, I'm forgetting something, I'm supposed to be doing something else, or there's something important that I'm forgetting, and it just like gnawed at me. I struggled to sleep because I had so many things going through my mind. I couldn't say no. And this ties in very closely with the people pleaser. So I've classified myself as a recovering people pleaser.
Me too.
Yeah. Because you want to please everyone, so you don't say no, but then you just pile on more on your to-do list, and that adds to the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so and you also start resenting the people around you, and remember, now it was pandemic, so the people around me was my husband. Mm-hmm. So this put a lot of strain on our relationship as well, because I started resenting him when I was actually the problem. I should have spoken up. I should have said no. I should have set boundaries. And I didn't initially. And that led to a lot of resentment, unhappiness, anger, this feeling of just this load on my shoulders increasing day by day and not knowing how to deal with it. And then lastly, there were lots of symptoms, but the biggest one I can think of now also was the indecision. I was just so overwhelmed by
mm-hmm.
all the options out there. How to sleep train your baby, how to wean your baby, how to feed your baby, how to change your baby, how to get rid of the winds. And I don't know, like, there's just so many ways to do all these things. And obviously you want the best for your baby. You want to do the best you can, but you can't because you don't know what is the best way. And there's so many different ways of doing things. You can hear it in my voice. I was like, this was just like, this is driving me insane because I'm a perfectionist and I want to do things perfectly for my baby, but I can't follow everyone's advice. It's just not possible. So I was driving myself crazy. Yeah, all of that contributed to this hot mess I was at the time.
So let's just take a minute and recognize that you are not the only mama, first time mama, period, that wants to do the best for her baby does the research, and there are a bazillion different ways to do everything. There's so many right ways to do it, and all it's overwhelming. So not only are you a first-time mom and it's a brand new experience, it's your first time being responsible for this little helpless human being, you're in the middle of a pandemic, which pandemic parenting is nothing that I really ever wanted to know. But there, it's a lot. And it's a lot when you're healing. Like, you had a C-section. So you were doing all of this while your body was healing from major surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget the identity crisis.
Oh, yeah. The identity crisis from going from I am Monica, I am Emily, I have hobbies, I get to go out and do things, to now I'm so-and-so's mom. And yeah, when people look at us, they say, oh, how so-and-so, and they don't ask about me anymore. Yep. I'm invisible now.
Yep.
And I don't know what your experience was like with the lockdowns in your jurisdiction, but when someone comes to visit and they ask how baby's doing, but they don't ask how you're doing, it gives the perception that they don't give two flying rips about you. They only care about baby.
Yep. Yep. And it is so isolating. This, you're going through so much. You're so vulnerable and your hormones are all over the place. And you're going through this identity crisis. And then no one even sees you or acknowledges or validates what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the baby. How's the baby growing? What's the latest milestones that they've reached? Have they been sick? Are they okay? Do they sleep well? Like, and if they ask about you at all, and this is now more meaning society as a whole, like, have you bounced back? Has your body bounced back to pre-baby? You know, it's like all these like superficial things. Like, meanwhile, like, can you just help me? I'm drowning here. And it's actually, it, like I said, it's very isolating, and it's heartbreaking to know that women are going through that all over the world, and it's just not necessary. We need our village. Yes. We need our village.
Yes. The old school saying, it takes a village to raise a child, is so true, but it also takes a village to raise a mama.
Yeah. Yeah. All that knowledge and wisdom that used to be imparted to the mom, and the support given to the mom, like, that is also gone. I mean, there are civilizations where, not civilizations, they were societies where the mama was so cared for, like, she, mm-hmm. she almost didn't have to lift a finger for the first 4 months after giving birth. All she had to do was take care of the baby and feed the baby. Mm-hmm. And everybody else would care for everything else, because mama's body needed to heal. Mm-hmm. Because whether you go through C-section or natural birth, I mean, it's a huge adjustment on your body. And you need to recover and spend that precious time with your baby. But these days, we're up and going the moment we can. And you're supposed to run a household, run a career, be the perfect wife, you know, all of that. And there's just no space for mom to really come to grips with all the changes physically and mentally that she's going through. And it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And there hasn't been, I believe that it's beginning to change now a little bit. There hasn't been a space where moms could come forward and say, hey, I'm struggling. This is a lot and I need help, without people in society saying, you chose to be a mom, suck it up and deal with it. You chose it, deal with it. And that is so toxic.
It is very toxic. It actually makes me speechless. It makes me so angry when I think about it.
So how far into postpartum were you when you recognized that you were suffering with anxiety and that your anxiety had reached its peak?
I was about 3 months in. Obviously sleep deprivation added to the anxiety, but I was about 3 months in, so not too far into my motherhood journey.
Yeah, that fourth trimester is one very challenging time period.
Yeah.
So how has your healing journey gone since then? It's been a few years. You're a toddler mom now.
Yeah.
How is it going?
So I still have my ups and downs. Like I said, I have been struggling with depression and anxiety for most of my adult life. So I have periods where I'm more down than others, but because I've gotten used to identifying the symptoms most of the time, I can manage the situation before it gets out of hand. So I am doing much better, but I have had to go through a ton of growth, personal growth. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn how to say no. I've had to learn how to set and stick to boundaries. I thought I knew how to do that. It's much tougher to set boundaries in your personal life than it is your corporate career. And I had to find my own feet. It was a difficult journey. Mm-hmm. But these days, I mean, I have always seen my therapist regularly, and I am on medication for depression, although it was very closely monitored during my pregnancy and breastfeeding journey. So all of that obviously applies. And I do just want to mention that while I am a new mom coach and I help moms deal with anxiety, I am not there to treat clinical postpartum anxiety. It is an illness separate to normal anxiety, and a lot of people don't realize that. Postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression are both illnesses that are separately classified and can mm-hmm. be dealt with. It's an illness like having the flu. Mm-hmm. Go to the doctor, get your medication, get better. Okay, you don't have to suffer. So I just want to clarify, there's a difference between struggling with anxiety and being like super stressed out mm-hmm. of your mind, kind of needing medication help. So I am doing much better these days, like I said. And luckily, my relationship with my husband also survived the traumatic first year. And we are much better for it. So that helps a lot also.
Yeah. When I became a mama in 2018, I didn't have a clue that mamahood would be the single most triggering thing to ever happen to me, because it brings up all of those emotions that you may have pushed down and repressed, because they're big and scary and you don't want to deal with them. So there's that lovely surprise that was waiting for me in my postpartum journey with my first child. What message do you have to share with the Mamahood After Trauma community and listeners? Perhaps to a mama who's listening today, who's new on her journey. She finds herself struggling. She's not sure what's up, but she knows something's not quite right. What would you say to her? Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, technical difficulties, my friends. Just bear with us 1 second.
Try this. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, cool. I would say to that mama that you should ask for help. You never were meant to do everything on your own. Don't buy into what society tells you. You don't have to do everything on your own. Asking for help does not mean you're a failure. It does not mean that you can't do everything. It means that you are strong enough to recognize that you need help and you should be proud of asking for help. But do not just ask for help, accept the help. Let people help in their own way, because if you try and micromanage, you might as well have done it yourself, and that defeats the purpose. So that is my biggest takeaway, is really you're not a failure if you ask for help. In fact, it's a sign of strength. So please, please don't try and do everything by yourself.
Amen. Amen. So how can people connect with you if they want to talk to you further?
I have a website. It's newmom.co.za. And on there, you'll find blog posts. You'll find links to my coaching information. There's also a free download, positive affirmations, as we spoke about before, specifically for new moms. And you can find that at newmom.co.za/myaffirmations. And yeah, you can find me on Instagram at mon.malan.
Awesome. So I will include a link to Monica's Instagram in the show notes of this episode. And thank you so much for joining me today, Monica. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks so much, Emily. It really was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Well, friends, that is this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening on, and like and share the episode with a new mama who would benefit from it. Until next week, we will chat soon.